Good morning. I encourage you to turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 9, somewhere around verse 23. We're going to look at this message that I've entitled, A Better Sacrifice. An athlete was pulled into an unusual experience through a bet. A veteran on the subject bet this strong man that he could not endure a pint of water being dropped on his hand, one drop at a time, from a height of 3 feet above his hand. The big man thought such a bet was a sure win, so he accepted the wager. A pint of water can produce about 11,520 single drops. After 300 drops, the athlete's hand was hurting bad, but he kept going because, hey, no pain, no gain. By the 420th drop, the battle was over. He quit with his hand red and badly swollen. Sin is like that. One sin at a time may not seem like much, but the cumulative effect is painful and destructive. Someone wrote that when a man says he has a clear conscience, it often means he has a bad memory. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in verse 6:23, and the wages of sin is death. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. Jesus Christ never sinned, yet he made a sacrifice of himself. And he bore the sins of many. Why? Well, Romans 9:26 tells us, he then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He put away sin. He put away sin. This is kind of like a Columbo mystery, the old detective series. One of my favorite shows. We get to see who done it at the beginning, and then we watch the detective solve the crime and learn what we already know. The entertainment is not in discovering who did it. Rather, it's in the process of Columbo learning what we already do. We have the act of Jesus sacrificing himself and bearing the sins of many to put away sin. Well, let's see the story. There's a human problem. We like to work with things we can see and touch. We prefer human priests over one we can't see. That's the Jewish sacrificial system. This is also true among Christian cults, wanting to worship someone that we can see. The writer of Hebrews explained the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice for our sin problem. And he shared four reasons in Hebrews chapter 9. First, Jesus' sacrifice was offered in heaven, not on earth. Verses 23 and 24. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. but into heaven itself. The wilderness tabernacle and the temple were only copies of the real holy place in glory. So his sacrifice was offered in heaven. Second, his sacrifice was offered once, not repeatedly. Verses 25 and 26. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. Then he would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the age, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Once at the end of the ages, a human priest never stopped working. 24 hours a day, they were accepting sacrifices at the tabernacle, at the temple, and they were offering those again and again and again. The people came and offered sacrifice, then they had to come back the following year. Or at other times, for individual purposes. So the human priest never stopped, but Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice once at the end of the ages. So his sacrifice was offered in heaven. His sacrifice was offered once. And third, his sacrifice was offered for many, not for one. Verses 27 and 28. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. To bear the sins of many. He bore all the sins of many, past, present, future, all of them. And then fourth, his sacrifice was offered by God, not by man. Verses 25 and 26 and verse 28. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the age, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. In verse 28, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Once at the end of the ages, he has appeared. The Lord Jesus Christ is himself our sin bearer, the perfect sacrifice, and he offered himself. The sacrifice was offered by God himself, not by a human priest. So, look at again, just a couple of those verses, verse 26 to 28, and consider the Jewish Day of Atonement. The goat was a clean animal, and so it was acceptable for sacrifice. Verse 26. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Leviticus records it. The priest takes two goats. The first goat is slain, and its blood is poured at the base of the altar, symbolic of Christ's shed blood on the cross. The second goat? What happens with the second goat? Well, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 19, explains that to us. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times, cleanse it, and consecrate it from uncleanness of the children of Israel. And then verse 19 refers to that first slain goat. And then verse 20, and when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hands of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited place, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Why two goats? Well, one to atone for the sins with blood, and the other to carry the transferred sins away forever. So two goats. One of them's going to be slain, and its blood's going to be taken for the atonement ceremony. And then the other goat, by prayer, will have this all the sins placed on it, and then it will be taken away. So the sins are paid for, and then the sins are taken away. Sin paid for and removed. Jesus Christ was our sin bearer, our substitute. Our righteousness depends on His finished redemptive work on the cross. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin for salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus didn't shy away from suffering. He didn't dread the cross. He didn't fear death. John 10:18, Jesus said, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again, referring to his life. This command I have from my Father. The Lord struggled in his humanity with only one thing, becoming sin in order to deal with the sin problem. He knew that it meant separation from the Father. My Father, he said, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But because of his love for us, he took the cup. Our sin, our guilt, our iniquity, to the cross of Calvary, and endured the forsaking of the Father, of his Father in heaven. And God did turn his face away from sin in Christ. My God, why have you forsaken me? Well, the answer to that question of the Lord on the cross is very simply, sin. Sin is why the Father had forsaken him at that moment. Jesus bore it. He paid the price. And like that slain goat, he made atonement for sins. And like the live goat, he carried the sins away forever. Our perfect righteousness. Complete salvation in Jesus Christ. So how does this Old Testament imagery apply to us today? Well, it's like applying for financial grants. They're already paid for. You just express the need for it. The grant's already been established. It's already been paid for. It's already been set up. You just need to express your need for that grant. The slain goat was not enough by itself. The priest had to place both hands on the head of the live goat and confess the sins. See, the slain goat was God's part of our redemption. The live goat is our part of personal application. Jesus Christ was slain on Calvary's cross. We must confess and repent by faith. When He died on that tree, God gave the most precious expression of His love for us. He can do no more for the sinner who refuses his salvation in Christ. So that brings us to the place where we need to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to profess Him. You see, we've established that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And that's just not a physical death. That's a spiritual death for all of eternity in hell. But the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. God has given us and offered to us and given us eternal life, and He did it by Jesus Christ. Why did God give us eternal life? Why was that so important to Him? Because even in our sin, God loved us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave His only begotten Son so that we can have eternal life. So He gave us eternal life by Jesus Christ. The free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God loved us. He wanted us to have eternal life. He gave Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty. He shed His blood to redeem us for eternal life. And what's left for us is to confess Jesus, believing that He died for us, believing that He rose from the dead and can give us victory over death. And then we need to ask Him to forgive us, be our personal Savior and Lord. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe unto righteousness. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know Jesus? Is He your personal Savior? Are you surrendered to Him as Lord? If you haven't done that, if you've not acknowledged your sin and asked God to forgive you in Jesus Christ, then you need to do that. That's business that you need to take care of with Him. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You so much for this word that Jesus Christ is the better sacrifice. That everything that was done had to be done over and over and over again, Lord. But when Jesus went to the cross, He died once for us, that we might be forgiven and have eternal life. Father, I pray that everyone watching or listening to this message, that they would be convicted of their need for forgiveness, that they would be convicted of their sin and would, in repentance, reach out and ask You to forgive them and to be their Savior in Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank You for Your love, that You were willing to send Jesus Christ, Your only begotten Son, that we might have life and spend an eternity with You and not an eternity apart from You in hell. We thank You, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Is that your testimony? You have a great day.